First Chronicles 16, starting at chapter 7. And children, you can be dismissed at this time if there is a class today. First Chronicles 16, chapter 7. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Chronicles. Turn back a few pages. First Chronicles, chapter 16, starting at verse 7. The word of the Lord says this: "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth." The title of the message today, in lieu of our holiday season, the spirit of thanksgiving. The spirit of thanksgiving. There's a story about a young man who loved God. He had set out to go and to become a minister, to become a pastor. And it turns out that he was successful on that mission. But he was out vacationing in his younger days. And he was out and there was a bunch of people swimming in a pool. And something happened. So some catastrophic event had come up and people were scrambling to get out of the pool. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever scrambled to get out of the water, some bad things can happen. You know, it doesn't quite work the same way if you get to pick up and go. And he began to see some people struggling there. And he was an excellent swimmer. And he was going in and diving in and helping these people out of this pool as this storm had come up. And he ended up saving many people that day, possibly from even drowning. And of course, like I said, this man went on to have a great life. But his health was really ever affected from that moment, you know, having to go in and assert that type of physical energy each time helping to pull these people out. And then when he was there, it was at his death, this event was noted. And as they looked out, they thought as they preached his funeral that one of those might be there to say thank you, to say a few words about what he had done. But as they asked people to come up, not one of them was there. Not one came back or showed up or sent a letter or a card to say, "Hey, you know, thanks for that time when I was struggling." Can we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Father God, we come to you today, Lord, and we are grateful to be here, Lord. I can think of no better place for the Christian to be but to be in your presence, Lord Jesus. And this building doesn't make your presence. This place of land or this spot on a map doesn't make your presence. It's the function of your people that makes your presence. It's us coming together, glorifying you, inviting you in, and recognizing you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, we invite you in right now. We ask that you would help us to understand your word today. Lord, that you would help me to speak clearly, that you would truly be the preacher and the teacher this morning, that you would use me for your mouthpiece. And those that are here today in this place or listening by some form of media, you would help them to hear, Lord Jesus, not just listen, but to hear what you're saying in your word. Lord, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. In our scripture this morning, we see five words that make up this particular scripture. And the words really, they really are great because they put together our praise, our worship, and our thankfulness to God. They kind of put those things together. And would you agree with me this morning that those things are important? That we come together and we praise him for who he is and what he's done. Amen? That we thank him for the glorious things that he has put before us and that we worship him. You see, many people will say, "Well, you know, the praise and worship's a little long or it's a little loud or I don't like those or I don't like this." And they're quick to criticize. You know, I've been playing praise and worship for a very, very long time. And you know, sometimes every song doesn't kind of hit a chord with you. But you know what? When you turn on the radio, every song doesn't quite hit a chord with you. And that's okay. But you know what? Sometimes when I'm reading the words, and I have to admit to you, if you don't know, I played drums for a long time. And I really wasn't worried about the words. Wasn't worried about that. I was worried about what was going on musically. I was worried about what was going on in the songs. And it wasn't until I started paying attention to the words. And I'd see some of these old hymnals that really musically, they didn't do it for me. And that's okay. But I would read the words. And I would think, Lord, whomever wrote that, Lord, you touched them. Lord, they felt something from your presence. Lord, they went through something that happened. So my point of all of that is our praise, our worship, and our thankfulness. Many things that happen during the praise and the worship time are important to God. They're important to us, and it's important to have a healthy relationship with God because of those things. So as we look at these words, give, the believer must always give thanks to God. Amen. And doesn't it feel good to give thanks to him? Sing. You are to sing to him about his wondrous works. You may say, Pastor, I don't have a great voice. You know what? I don't either. But I'm going to sing. See, he's going to place a song in my heart. And I'm going to be able to praise him in the way that he's asked me to give. And hopefully, when I make it to heaven, he blesses me with that singing voice. Amen. And we can join the choir singing, Worthy is the Lamb, just like we sang about this morning. Amen. He says, glory. Our glory is to be in his name, his holy name, not our name. We are to glory in him. We are to seek. We are to seek him concerning everything. And this is difficult sometimes to seek him. Because when a decision comes up or when something comes our way, many times we look into ourselves. Many times we go seek the counsel of friends. Many times, and I'm definitely guilty of it, you pull out your smartphone and hey, Google. Hi, Siri. Tell me about this. And, you know, I'm not making fun of that. It's very helpful sometimes. But when we have situations in our life, he's asking us to seek him. Seek him, to seek his wisdom, to seek his knowledge. And lastly, to remember his word, his work. We are to remember them, who he is, what he's done, that he is victorious. Amen. And a lot of Christians don't want to remember that he's victorious. You see, he is victorious. And because he is victorious, we are victorious. We shouldn't walk around moping and depressed Christians. We should walk around in victory because of who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do for us. So these words mean something. In verse 8, it begins with a progression of these words. It starts with the word give. It says, don't just give, but give thanks. Not only give thanks, but give thanks unto the Lord. We are to give thanks unto the Lord. And this phrase, it opens and closes in this book of Chronicles. It's interesting. The scripture that we started out with, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And then later in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 34 and 35, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to his holy name, and glorify him in praise. It was written for us. It's a yearning for us to want to go and to want to do these things. It's also a powerful promise that if we do these things, if we praise his name, that he is going to respond. The question this morning that I want to ask is, why should we remember this? Why should we be giving thanks to the Lord? And as we go into our cultural time of Thanksgiving here in the United States for what God did for this country so many years ago that we have built upon for these many years, we need to remember what God has done for us. You know, we need to celebrate Thanksgiving in our own way when God invited us in to his kingdom. Amen. When God reached down and he, his Holy Spirit began to stir up in us. When we decided to give ourselves to him. Amen. You see, that's the start of our thanksgiving to him. And he began to build upon that. He began to build upon that. And we look back through a life walked with Christ. And we see thanksgiving upon thanksgiving upon thanksgiving. So as the world comes together and we celebrate the traditional Thanksgiving, or we celebrate the things that have done this year, as Christians, the things that we celebrate and the things that we give thanks for have so much more meaning. You see, the purpose of giving thanks to God is important to him, and it's also important to us. When we look at our world today, when we turn on the news, we turn on the TV, we look at social media, we see that people have a hard time being thankful, don't they? It's hard for the non-believer. It's hard for sometimes the believer, the world, to be thankful. That's just the way the world is. That's the way the world goes. Many people, they just have a hard time doing it. And I believe that's part of not knowing Christ, because Christ builds that spirit of thanksgiving within us. To be thankful means glad that something has happened or not happened. To be glad that something has happened or not happened, that something or someone else exists. I'm glad this morning because my eyes opened up. I was able to wake up and I was able to take a breath and look about upon the day and say, Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm glad. I'm glad to be able to come in and see everyone today. To see that you've made it through another week. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes, making it through another week? To hear what God is doing in your life. I'm glad that we can come together and we can agree as a church body that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That he gave of himself for me. His death, burial, his resurrection, his ascension was done for me. Amen? I'm glad of these things. To be glad. See, we have to choose to be glad. We have to choose to be thankful. It's a choice that we actively have to make. Because I don't know about you, but it's easy to be unthankful. It's easy to be a Grinch. I have to be honest with you this morning. This time of year is not my favorite time of year. It's easy for me to be a Grinch during this time of year. So in my mind, I have to think about being thankful during this time. I have to think about not the things of the world, not the things that go on, but Jesus Christ. For me, anyway. But I believe for the world and for the unsaved, their default is to be grouchy. Their default is to be unthankful. And sure, there's some oddities out there and they don't think that way. But I think by and large, the world likes to be unthankful. But God is telling us that it's a choice of keeping an attitude of thankfulness and getting rid of the attitude of ungratefulness. Notice the scripture stresses our thankfulness to God. If we maintain a thankful heart to God, it will pour over into our relationships with everyone else. If we're thankful to him, it's easy to let that pour out and be thankful to other people. And the selfishness, it just simply bleeds away. You see, mankind on his own is selfish. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit that go in and they begin to take that selfishness away from us. Ungratefulness or thanklessness attitudes leads to this selfishness. And selfishness leads to an absence from God. Selfishness leads to an absence from God. You know why? Because our hearts begin to harden. We begin to lose sight of who he is and what he's done. We begin to lose sight of the thankful things that we are thankful to him for. So the question this morning is, why should I give thanks to God? And just for a short time, for a little bit, I want to talk about five reasons that we give thanks. Number one, we give thanks to God because giving thanks, it's a choice. Psalms 7 and 17 says this. In the King James, it says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. In the NASB, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Both of these translations are exactly correct. They're literal translations. They just use a slightly different word, praise or thanks. The word praise is an expression of praise, to extol, to make a public confession of the attributes and the acts of a power or a person, that person being God. There is a focus on the content of the praise spoken out loud, usually in the context of community. Not always. Many times, thanksgiving to God is done in quiet time, done in prayer time. But there is everything right about coming together in a church service and saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done. Amen? Amen. Thanks. We look at thanks, to give an expression of praise to a person with a particular focus on a subject being engaged in the expression of thanks or praise. So when we see these things, giving thanks, thanksgiving is giving praise. When I begin to give thanks, I begin to give praise to God, who he is and what he's done. Psalms 30 and 12 says this, to the end of my glory may I sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. Psalms 35 and 18 says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You see, each of these passages uses the meaning of thanks as the word praise. It's one thought. It's one action. It's one thing that we do. When we begin to give praise, we begin to give thanks to God. When we begin to thank him, we begin to praise him. Life can be looked at in two different ways, really. Unthankful, of course, the opposite of thankfulness, always looking into ourselves, being selfish, and it can be looked at as being thankful. Looking to the positive. Looking to that which comes from God. And as I was looking at this sermon, and I was putting it together, and I thought, you know, I'm not a positive person. You know, in my job, many times I'm looking at risk. You know, as I'm looking at these things, you guys hear about, you know, this person was hacked this day, or that happened that day, or somebody's data was stolen. So in my job, we are trained to always look at risk and what the bad could be. What's the worst thing that could happen if you do this, right? So that kind of flows over and it seeps into us a little bit. And as I was studying this, I said, Lord, help me to be a more positive person. Lord, change my attitude, oh Lord, to not look at the bad, to not look at the risk, to not look at the negative of what's going on. Lord, help me to be positive. I believe that God wants us to see the positive in this life, the positive that he's done for us. And that positive, of course, begins and ends with who he is and what he's done. The Bible has scripture after scripture warning the believer about being unthankful. I just want to look at just one verse today. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1. It starts out and says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Can I have an amen? We are in perilous times. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from which such turn away. We are to turn away from those things. Those things are unthankful. In short, when what we look for and what we do go to those type of things, which the world goes to, those are the things that, sadly, those things that we just talked about are things that the world holds high. They cling to those things. You may see our politicians get on TV and try to say someone else is acting that way, but many times they're doing many of the same things. Our world clings to those things. The Word of God says, turn away. Go an opposite way. God is looking for a heart that will praise him. God is looking for a heart that will give him thanks. That's what God is looking for. We think about the story of the real first Thanksgiving that happened here in this great country, which, you know, was set upon a backdrop of a very difficult time. And it's not what the school books would tell us that happened in 1621. It's not that. Let me just read this here for you very quickly. It says, when a group of pilgrims shared a feast with a group of friendly Indians, the first recorded Thanksgiving took place in Virginia more than 11 years earlier, and it wasn't a feast. So that picture that we have in our mind, you know, everybody getting together and being friendly and the Indians sharing and, you know, we were one big happy people getting along. You know, that's what our picture of Thanksgiving is. If you walk into many schools during this time, you'll probably see that depicted on banners and different things that they have hanging up, and you turn on specials and that's what they'll say it is. But really, it was the winter of the year 1610 in Jamestown. It had reduced a group of 409 people. Got that in your mind? Can you picture 400 people? Down to 60. Think about that. What does that do to you mentally? As you see 340 some odd people, they die. No doubt there were family. No doubt there were children. No doubt that there were spouses. There were 60 of them left there in that small town of Jamestown, that settlement that they were trying to start. And times were difficult. The survivors prayed for help. They didn't know when it would come. They didn't know how it would come. When help arrived, it was in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England. Do you know what they did? They held a prayer meeting. This country was built on God. When that food arrived, when that ship of help arrived, they came together and they gave God glory and thanks. Amen? Who is going to tell that on the news today? Who's going to tell that story on the news today? You see, this country was built on the love of God. It was built on the justice of God. They came together, they had a prayer meeting, and they praised and thanked God for getting that ship to them, for saving them in that very difficult time. The individuals, they could have looked at the situation in a couple different ways. They could have focused on the negative. There's a lot of negative there, isn't there? 400 down to 60, there's some negative to be had. But they chose instead to focus on what God had done, and they chose to give him thanks, to have a prayer meeting. Giving thanks is a choice that we have to make, even in the most difficult times. Even in the most difficult times, it's a choice for us to make. In our scripture, David was thankful. But it didn't come because David was such a spiritual man. David was close to God. Amen? God loved David. David loved God. But that isn't what sparked it. What sparked it in David is because David made a choice to praise God. David made a choice to be thankful for what God had done for him. And you think about David's life and you think about all the great things that God did for him. There were some bad things there too. There were some missteps on this great man of God's life that really in this day and age would have wiped him out. He made a choice and he continued to praise God. He continued to thank God. And no doubt that had an effect on his heart. No doubt that had an effect on who he was. No doubt that had an effect on his relationship with God. And we look at the end of the story and we see that David did recover. But it's a choice that we have to make. Number two, we give thanks because God is near. Psalm 75 verse 1 says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near and wondrous works declare. Aren't you glad this morning that when the trials come, when the tribulation comes, when things enter into your life, that you don't have to call and wait on me? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go and find someone who you think is holier than you or you think can pray better than you, that all you have to simply do is say the name of Jesus. That's how near he is. Just speak his name, Jesus. Jesus. How many times have you been in a situation and the walls are beginning to press in? Whether some outside circumstance or something that you've caused yourself. And you begin to say his name, Jesus. Jesus, help me. And he begins to come in and the Holy Spirit begins to work. And he begins to do what is needed in that time. He is that close. His wonders are that close. His care is that close. In the good times, in the bad times. When I started the service, I told you that my voice was a little weak today. It's because I was at the Buckeyes game yesterday. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. Nasty, rainy, crappy day outside. But as I was sitting there, and boy, were we sitting there. You're crammed in. I mean, you got about this much to sit down. You know, you got to turn sideways sometimes. You're locked in. Not the best experience if you don't really, really, really love people. But we were sitting there and people are yelling all around and plays are going on. And as I was sitting there listening and watching, I've got people yelling around me, you know, the coaches up in the stands, you know, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you got to do that. Oh, why'd you run that play for? Or they're yelling at the players, catch it. Well, of course you want them to catch it. That's the right. All this going on, all the banter going on from the crowd. And then when something great happened, I'm going to tell you, there's a little emotion there. When something great happens and you see 100,000 people stand up and begin to cheer and to clap, there's some emotion there. There's some stuff that's going on for a football. I'm not going to lie to you. I was one of the ones. But as I did that, I thought, Lord, there's 100,000 people in this stadium. They're standing over some people on a field, a fake grass, a football, and this really isn't going to mean a hill of beans in eternity. And it began to run through my mind. Lord, when we get to heaven, what will the crowd look like? What will the choir look like? What will the chorus look like? What will it look like when the Lamb of God is displayed? And how will we rise? Will we kneel? Lord, how will we respond emotionally in heaven to who you are and what you've done? It was an emotional game yesterday, but I can guarantee you that it will have nothing. It will be nil compared to what we experience in the throne room of heaven. Amen? As I was going home, I thought about those people yelling, and I thought about all the banter going on in the crowd, and I thought, Lord, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're coaching. All these people aren't happy. You know, for 100,000 people to all be happy, that's just not going to happen. They're not all happy, but they made a choice. All right, now it wasn't a great day yesterday. I'm not going to lie. It was, you know, 34 degrees. We had rain. It was gross and nasty, and we were outside. Wasn't a great. But 100,000 people made a choice to go out and to be in that. They weren't all thankful. There's no way they were thankful, but they made a choice to come and to cheer, to cheer for that team. They would cheer and they would give their feedback. I guarantee you there's not a coach on the sideline or a player on the field that heard anything that they were saying. That's how loud it was. It just wasn't happening. But yet I can call on the name of Jesus. I can call on him and he hears me. Lord, I've got a problem. He'll help me. Jesus, the walls are beginning to close in. Help me. Lord, I don't know the right decision. Help me. You see, God hears us. The point is the people that were there with all of their problems, they chose to go in to thank a team who couldn't hear them instead of a God who has his hand out waiting for them to come in, waiting to hear them. You see, God hears us. He hears our thanks. And if people with all of their difficulty can stand up and praise a football on a field or a teammate on a field, then surely they should be able to praise the God of the universe. You see, that's mankind. We were focused on that yesterday. But God wants us to focus on him. This should give us excitement to thank God. This should place something in our life because he is near. He loves us. He chose to come near. He loves us. If he didn't love us, why would he choose to do that? He loves us because he paid our sin debt. The sin that I could not pay, you could not pay, no man could pay. He chose to pay it. And he chose to give us new life. You see, he did all these things for us because he loves us and he requires our praise and our thankfulness. Number three, we give thanks to God because God is good. God is good. Psalms 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever." Amen. His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad that God is not a man? You see, our mercy, it's not going to endure forever. We only have a little bit. Psalms 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." His mercy and his love, they endure forever. Lord Jesus, thank you. God the Father, thank you for enduring us, loving us, giving us mercy and grace. See, God loves us. He is good to us, and he wants the best for us. Do you believe that this morning? He loves us. He wants the best for us, and he's good to us. You see, our world, there many times, they're woe is me about God, aren't they? God is, he's going to strike them down. Well, he may if they keep it up. But his mercy endureth forever. He will show his mercy to them if they simply come his way. Amen? His mercy, and he loves us. The world would speak to us about how bad God is. They would speak to us about things that just aren't God. And many people who don't know him, who haven't studied him, they have a picture in their mind, or they have a thought process in their head that God is some big evil person in the sky that wants to do the worst for him. And that's simply not the case. God loves us. He wants the best for us. God's love includes his grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, his kindness. We're not to look at what the world can give us. We're to look at what God can give us. And all those things are characteristics of him. And if he has them, if they're characteristics of him, as I come into his kingdom, as I become a new creation unto him, as the Holy Spirit begins to work on me, as the sanctification process is happening through me and in me on an ongoing basis, then those things can now begin to build up in my life. Those attributes as a Christian begin to show in my life. Because of his mercy, we become forgiving. Because of his grace, we are saved. Because of his faithfulness, we can place our trust in him. Because he is faithful, we are faithful. Because of the cross, we can show him thanks. We can praise him. We can come to him and give him what he is due. Because he completed the work there. We can be assured that what God did starts in our lives. And if we are faithful to him, that he will finish that work. If we have confidence in him, that he will do exactly what he said he will do. Well, Pastor, he didn't tell me he was going to do this. No, he probably didn't. But I guarantee you, he built you up to a point where you'd be ready for whatever this is. That he placed you in the place that you're at, and he put the tools and the people around you so that you would succeed. So that you would find victory in this life. You see, he called us to be victorious. Victorious Christians. Number four, we give thanks to God because he gives us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Underline it, highlight it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't simply give us the victory in our own self. He didn't give us the victory in something, some kind of talent that he gave us. He did it through Jesus Christ. Paul is thanking God for giving us something which we did not deserve. We didn't deserve it. In fact, we could not deserve it. The Apostle Paul would talk about it over and over and over again. In no way could we have obtained this on our own. Our strength, our ability, our knowledge simply wasn't enough. God, however, is in the business of complete victory. Everywhere Jesus went, Jesus brought victory. Everywhere. And everything Jesus did, he won victory. In his final breath on this earth, in this mortal coil, what did he do? He claimed victory. You see, Jesus Christ is victory. You know, the Buckeyes won yesterday. They claimed victory. Big deal. Jesus Christ came and he gave of himself. And he claimed victory over the sin debt. And he brought relationship back to this world, to those that will follow him. Victory denotes enemies and battle. But it's not the battle that we have won. It's not a battle that we have to fight. Many times we feel like we're fighting the battle, don't we? Many times we're being beaten and bruised. And sometimes we feel like we're not going to win the battle. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the battle is not ours to win. It's Christ's. It's Jesus Christ's battle that he has already won. This amazing victory was won by him on the cross because he freely gave of himself, because he did exactly what God needed him to do and exactly what man needed him to do. You've heard me say it before. He could have called down the angels of heaven in a heartbeat. Just like those fans yesterday trying to call in the play from the stand, Christ could have called in the play from heaven. Lord, bring down the armies of God. I don't want to do this. He had the power to do it. But he chose to give of himself. Because he knew that that particular battle won the victory and put us back where we needed to be. The verse names the victor, our Lord Jesus Christ. His full name, official name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord voices faith, confession, adoration on the part of a believer. Our Lord. The glorious resurrection chapter ends with the name of him who is the resurrection, the life that is placed into all of us. And the victory was won there on Calvary. That one name, our Lord Jesus Christ, spells out exactly who he is, spells out exactly what he was going to do and did accomplish. You see, those things haven't changed up until this very moment. Right now, in this very place, the victory is still being freely given out, freely handed out to this earth. If you're listening by some form of media today and you don't know him as your personal savior, if you feel defeated, if you're a Christian and you're walking defeated, he's still offering victory. Ask him to do it. If you don't know him, believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. If you're a believer and you're defeated, ask him for the victory. Place your faith in who he is and what he's done and know that he did the work. You see, Christ is the source and the Holy Spirit is the means. Christ is the source and the Holy Spirit is the means. The Holy Spirit is the one on the earth doing the office work of God here on this earth. The Holy Spirit wants to be active in our hearts and in our lives. He wants to be there for us. He wants to speak to us, to guide us, to help us. And if our faith is properly placed in the one who provided the victory, Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit now, through the law of Jesus Christ, has the latitude to move in our life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit working and moving in my life. I need that still small voice that says, hey, dude, stop. Or go. Or not a good idea. Or you need to find gladness and joy and victory. Amen? The Holy Spirit here to be our help, to be our comforter. And if our faith is fully placed in Him, He has that latitude. The Holy Spirit has the latitude to work in our life and to activate that power that God has placed in us. He supernaturally and miraculously does what needs to be done. And I don't know about you, but I need a little supernatural activity from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life. Amen? Sometimes I'm at a point where I need a little miraculousness to happen in my life. And sometimes I need forgiveness and grace and mercy. You see, everything that we need is given to us by Him. We have victory in this life and the life to come because Jesus won the victory. He defeated the enemy and He won the victory. Five, just give me a few more moments this morning. We give thanks to God because God leads us. He leads us. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. We are to give thanks unto God because He leads us to triumph. God leads us to victory. Calls us, let's just break this down a little bit this morning. Causes us, the cause is God, not our own ability. We didn't do it. The reason that Paul was thanking God because he knew God was directing him in the situation. God should be directing our situations. Amen? This is an example of how he's leading. He led the Apostle Paul. He's definitely able to lead us. The word triumph, of which Paul speaks here, gives an idea of a triumph procession. In the sports world, when they go and they win whatever championship they do, what do? What's the first thing they do when they get back? Anybody know? They have a parade. They have a parade. Do you know where that came from? The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, when they would take over something, you've heard me talk about this before, they would have a parade. And they would take those that army, and they would take that general, whoever he was, and they would place him on a high horse usually. Sometimes they would go and find an elephant or a giraffe or some great animal, and they would put him at the front of the parade. And they would march him through the middle of town. And the soldiers, those Roman soldiers, lockstep, marching through town. What were they doing? Celebrating victory, but letting you know, do not mess with us. That's what Christ does in our hearts. That's the picture that the Apostle Paul is trying to place in our spiritual mind. That's the victory that Christ won for us. That's the picture he wants us to have. Triumph. It's supposed to be glorious. And that procession of Christ is supposed to happen spiritually in our life. And we are to know that he provides the victory. He provides the victory. You see, there's a lot of defeated Christians out there. There's a lot of Christians who are defeated in their life. There's a lot of Christians that are fighting, being depressed over this world, being depressed of things that are happening. And I'm not talking about those that are clinically depressed and something's going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are depressed because they don't know what God has done for them. I don't know about you, but I get excited to know that he won the victory. I get excited to know that he stepped out of a tomb on the third day. Amen. I get excited to know that he came back and he taught for 40 days on this earth. And in the ascension, he rose to heaven. And I get excited that he sat down because the work was completed. You see, those are victories. I'm excited that one day the eastern sky is going to break and he's going to step through and the victory over sin is finally going to be defeated. Aren't you excited? That's victory. That's something that no sports team will ever bring, that no political contest will ever bring. But Jesus Christ is set up to bring that into the world. You see, triumph in Greek means to make a complimentary procession, to conquer, to give victory. This word is found in only one other place in the New Testament. This particular word in Greek, Colossians 2 and 15, and it says this, and having spoiled principalities and powers. He spoiled principalities and powers. Those things that are coming up, I don't know if I got time this morning, that are coming up against us. Those things that are messing with us. Those principalities and powers that Satan has unleashed on this earth. I was talking to someone this morning and they said, on my job, it's hard because people are beating on me. They're trying to undermine me. They don't know principalities and powers of Satan. He says he's going to win victory over them. Young person, adolescent, adult, mature person in the Lord, he's won the victory. Those principalities, let's finish reading this. Having spoiled principalities and powers, having made a show of them openly, he called them for what they are. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, stepping into this world and calling sin, sin, calling right, right, calling wrong, wrong, bringing the justice of God into the world. And lastly, triumphing over them. You see, he's won the victory. He's won it. Here Paul uses to describe the triumphant entry of Christ, the triumphant victory of Christ over Satan, over the principalities, over the powers of evil on this earth. He's going to do it, church. He's going to do it. Through his glorious work on the cross, he disarmed those principalities and powers. He exposed them for what they were. We as Christians just need to remember that our faith and our victory lie in him. You see, he won that victory. Anything that comes upon us, he won that victory. And he's going to win it again and again and again. Just give me a few more moments. I know that this body knows this, but there may be someone listening that needs to know this. You see, it's the qualifier that the victory is based upon. The qualifier, of course, is Jesus Christ. It's not based on who I am or what I've done. It's not based on your talent. It's not based on your ability. Aren't you glad this morning? I don't have many of them. Lord, I'm glad that it's based on you. It's not based on the letters before your name or the title before your name or after your name. It's not based on that. It's not based on the amount of education that we can get in this earth. And I love education. I love to learn things. But my salvation isn't based on that. Amen? Amen. It's not based on the work of my hands. It's probably good, right, Jade? Jade's got some rough hands. Jade works. She works hard. It's not based on my ability, on what I know. I could tell you things about technology this morning that would blow your mind. But my faith and my salvation is not based on those things because Jesus doesn't simply, it just doesn't matter. The things of God are so much more than the things of this earth. He's won the victory for us. And we're here this morning talking about it because he wants us to give thanks for these great things that he's done in our lives. These great things that he's done. So it's in Christ. The victory is given to us by God because we are in Christ. We are in him. We've accepted him into our life. And when God looks down on us, each and every one of us, he doesn't see Don. He doesn't see Dennis. He doesn't see Greg. He sees Christ because Christ is in us. Amen. Doesn't that make you glorious this morning? Doesn't that bring out the joy of the Lord in us that he is our victory? He is the one that paid the price for our redemption, purchasing our salvation on the cross, defeating the powers of darkness, and overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Jesus Christ must ever be the center of who we are and what we do. Not just Christ the person. Not just Christ the teacher. Christ the preacher. Christ the miracle worker. Those are all amazing things. And I believe if you went out and took a survey today, that most parts of the world that you went into would agree with you on those facts. They would agree with you. He was a great teacher. Yes. Islam would stand up and say, yes, he was a great teacher. He was a miracle worker. Yes, history identifies him as a miracle worker. Josephus would write it down in the history and that you would see that he was there. They would identify with those things. Yes, he was a preacher. He spoke from the synagogue. Yes, he was that. He was great. But the thing that they would not identify with us on, the thing that they would not come back to us and say yes, is that he is Christ, the Holy One. That he is Christ that gave of himself, that lived perfectly for 33 and a half years. They would not agree with us on his death, burial, resurrection, his exaltation, and his ascension to the Lord. They wouldn't agree with us on those facts. Because if they did, everything in their life would be dismantled. It would obliterate everything that they knew. It would obliterate every other religion on this earth because of who he is and what he's done. You see, God leads us to his character. God leads us to the person of Jesus Christ, and the person of Jesus Christ and the person of God and the Holy Spirit. They lead us to his word, and all these things begin to come together, and we begin to see the character of God in the Old Testament. We begin to see the humanity of God in the New Testament. And when we understand Jesus Christ, we begin to see that those two things come together exactly as they should. Exactly as they should. And we begin to see that it's up to us to trust in him. It's up to us to place our faith in him, his sacrifice, who he is and what he's done. And in closing, when Christians thank God, we open ourselves up to his direction. We open ourselves up to all things related to him. God begins to speak to us from his self, from his throne room, from his word, from his Holy Spirit, personally. Did you hear me? He begins to speak to you personally. That still small voice in your head, personally. That verse that you didn't read that way before, personally. That message from an anointed minister, personally. That song that God anointed someone to write, whether in the year 2019 or 1819, he anointed them to do that. With every head bowed this morning, with every eye closed, as we begin to close our service, just as the story about the man who was a part of that life-saving event at the pool, who saved all those different people from possibly dying, and not one of them came back to thank him or even chose to show up at his death, Jesus is letting us know this morning that he is our life-saving squad. That he wants us to continually praise him, to continually thank him. The purpose of this message this morning is to remind us that we need to be thankful to God no matter what the outcome, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the event. We need to develop a spirit of thankfulness in our lives toward God so that we can thrive in him and we can show others that spirit of thankfulness and victory. We need to remember the sacrifice of the cross, that Jesus paid a great price for our salvation, paid a great price for our justification, paid an amazing price for our sanctification, and that he has provided us victory. And as we close, I want to remember the promise. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. We may not be thankful people this morning, but Lord, I'm praying that you turn us into thankful people. Lord, individually work upon us. Lord, work on me. Lord, help me to be more thankful. Lord, help me to be more glad about what you're doing in my life and in this place. Lord, help us all as a body of Christ to be thankful for who you are and for what you've done, Lord, and to spread that spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, as we come in to this time in our world of thanksgiving, that we spread the spirit of thanksgiving of Jesus Christ into this world. Lord, I ask that this message would reign in our hearts and we would take it out into our different events over the next few days. Lord, that you would give us an opportunity, give us a chance to share who you are and what you've done and why we're thankful for you. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Before you're dismissed, there is a card out in the foyer on the little welcome center from Dave and Connie. They're just thanking us for the different gifts and the time that we got to spend with them. I did talk to Dave, I think it was Wednesday, and they're getting settled in. Of course, Dave's down there giving his neighbors an earful already. And, so I think things are all right, but they're getting moved in. They're just waiting for their furniture and things to show up. So I'm sure that I'll talk to them here in the next few weeks. Yeah, they gave me their phone number, so if anybody is interested in that, I can get that. He didn't give me his address, but I expect to get that from him here in the next few days. So go ahead and go out there and read that. I just wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, no service next week. You are dismissed. Thank you. God bless.